Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome, everyone. Yes, I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. And yes, you did hear it two times. Amen. So welcome, welcome, everyone, on this beautiful, well, in St. Louis, it's a beautiful Sunday, sunny Sunday morning, the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing right now and being glad in it. Amen. Pastor Mom is going to open us up in a word of prayer. She got a touch from the Lord today. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Our Father.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.
As it is.
As it is.
In heaven.
In heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us
our
trespasses.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not
into temptation.
But deliver us from
evil.
For thine
is the kingdom, and power is glory.
Forever. Amen. Amen. Lord,
thank you for
being with us and standing by us and holding us in the hollow of thine own hand. Bless our president and give him wisdom, knowledge, and a good understanding. Bless all the people of the United States. Lead us and guide us. Bless this service. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's go on to our scripture today. We'll be reading Psalm 95. Hallelujah. Psalm 95, King James Version. And we'll be reading from verses 1 through 6. Then we'll go to our other scripture, which is, hallelujah. So we'll read Psalm 34 together, verses 1 through 3. Glory and honor to you, God. Yes, Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. And then we'll have our pearl to ponder. Glory to God. Psalm 95. Let's read. Oh, come. Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with some. For the Lord is a great God, and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. Amen. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3, together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's so good.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, you're so good. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so in our pearls to ponder, you know, we're talking about the Lord. We're going to go on with these pearls to ponder as long as he says, and then we'll go to whatever else he says to go to. But what we're talking about are the names of God, and God has given us a charge and a challenge to find out more about him, his names and his attributes, his nature, his attributes from A through Z, from Genesis to Revelation. Oh, yeah, I know that sounds like a big charge and a big challenge, but we got the rest of our lives to do it. But he wants us to get started on it, to know more about who he is and about his character and his nature. And this month we've been talking about love. You know, of course, we picked the month of the Valentine's Day month, and a lot of love going on. And with us as Christians, it continues on. But we want to talk about him, his love. Well, we started talking about God is love. And then last week, you know, we talked about him and his love too. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, he'll bring it back to my, well, we talked about him loving us, the lover of our soul. Thank you. Somebody was saying that out loud, the lover of our soul. Amen. Thank you for saying that. I heard you in the spirit. And today, about agape love. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about agape love today. And the Lord just kept giving me all of these confirmations about his agape love and, you know, just taking me to different things, places in the Bible, as well as it took me way back about 5 years ago when this young man sang a song for us, and I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But let's talk about agape love. It's spelled A-G-A-P-E. It's in the New Testament over 200 times. Hallelujah. And so agape love is love that comes from God. God's love is not sentimental. It's part of his character and nature. God loves from an outpouring of who he is. 1 John 4:8. First, that God is love. Amen. Meaning that he is the source of agape love. His love is unconditional. It's undeserved, it's gracious, and it's sacrificial. His love is like the outraying of the sun. So whether we acknowledge it, whether we say, oh, sun, you're shining, and I just really like you shining, or we just completely ignore the sun, or maybe even be like, oh, gosh, this sun is too hot for me, whatever, he's still going to outray like the sun, his love is. Now, agape is a choice. A deliberate striving of another's for another's highest good. Let me say that again. Agape is a choice. It's a deliberate, you're doing it on purpose, striving for another's highest good, and is demonstrated through action. It's an action word. God set the standard for agape love in sending Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And I think most of us know 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 that talk about love, what love really looks like. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Hallelujah. So God is all about love. Amen. And then, hallelujah. And there's a balance to love as well. And so we have to know that too. He loves us, but Hebrews 12:6-8 says that, Hebrews 12:6-11 says that, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. Amen. So I'm going to just stop there with it. But if God takes you through something and punishes you for what you have done, that's still love. Now, some people call that tough love, but it's still love. Amen. Amen. So I want to, this is a confirmation of what the Lord has said to me. I keep seeing things about love, and this is just a little clip from this book by Sarah Young, and it's the 40 Days with Jesus, and it talks about love. And so just wanted you to hear that this morning. This is a reading from 40 Days with Jesus, which is written as if Jesus is talking to you. This is day 31.
I am the gift that continuously gives, bountifully, with no strings attached. Unconditional love is such a radical concept that even my most devoted followers fail to grasp it fully. Absolutely nothing in heaven or on earth can cause me to stop loving you. You may feel more loved when you are performing according to your expectations, but my love for you is perfect. Therefore, it is not subject to variation. What does vary is your awareness of my loving presence. When you are dissatisfied with your behavior, you tend to feel unworthy of my love. You may unconsciously punish yourself by withdrawing from me and attributing the distance between us to my displeasure. Instead of returning to me and receiving my love, you attempt to earn my approval by trying harder. All the while, I'm aching to hold you in my everlasting arms, to enfold you in my love. When you are feeling unworthy or unloved, come to me. Then ask for receptivity to my unfailing love. The scriptures are 1 John 4:15-18, Deuteronomy 33:27, and Psalm 13:5. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord just, he wanted us to hear that this morning, because some of us may be going through that, and he wants us to know that he loves us so much. And I wanna also play this song, and it's a very short song. I was in North Carolina back in 2017, ministering with Ministry Lane, and we went to a grocery store. And we met this young man named Marcus. He had burns on his hands, on both of his hands, and his hands were wrapped up. And we stopped him and talked to him and prayed for his hands and everything. And then he wanted to sing a song for us. And this is the song, Yes, Jesus Loves Me.
I know, before the Bible tells me so, live to one, to him belong. They are weak, but he's strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so.
Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yeah, it's an old song. We sang it when we were young. But sometimes you need to sing that again. Yes, Jesus loves me, agape love, unconditional. Amen. And we're going to end this this pearl to ponder about agape love with a prayer for love. Now, this is a prayer that came to me this morning on my email, and I was like, wow, God, you're trying to tell us something? So repeat this prayer after me.
Dear Lord,
remind me
that love
is always near.
That's always near.
Because you
are never far.
When I feel
unworthy
of love,
remind me
that you have
made me
worthy.
And when I feel
incapable
of showing love,
help me
to remember
what you have
sacrificed
for me.
Remind me
of how loved
I can remind others
of how loved
they are.
Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So that's our pearl to ponder today on agape love. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's go on to our declarations this morning. Hallelujah. I spent quite a bit of time there with pearls to ponder, but God was saying something, so we flow with him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, with our declarations, we know from Job 22 and 28, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Hallelujah. So even what we prayed this morning, that was a declaration. That was a prayer this morning as well. And we want God to establish those things in our lives, and that light shall shine upon our ways. And then Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower, the word of our God stands forever. And all of these declarations and all of the prayers that we say while we're together, and we say them together, they're all based on the word of God. Therefore, they stand what? Forever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So repeat this prayer, this declaration after me. God is on my side.
God is on my side.
God is with me now.
God is with me now.
Who can be against me?
Who can be against me?
He has given me.
He has given me
everything.
Everything
I need for life.
For life
and godliness.
And godliness.
Therefore.
I participate
in his divine,
nature
of love.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah. Repeat after me. Oh, and that's from Romans 8:31, 2 Corinthians 6:16, John 10:10, and 2 Peter 1:3-4. Hallelujah. Continue to repeat after me. Christ has redeemed me.
Christ has redeemed me.
From the curse of the law.
From the curse of the law.
Therefore, forbid. Any sickness.
Disease.
Germ.
Allergy.
Allergic reaction.
Allergic reaction.
And every virus.
And every virus.
Hallelujah. I forbid them all.
I forbid them all.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. And every virus.
And every virus.
That touches my body.
That touches my body.
Dies instantly.
In
the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Every organ. And every tissue.
And every tissue.
Of my body.
Of my body.
Functions. In the perfection, that God created it,
that God created
to function. And I forbid,
any malfunction
in my body, in the name of Jesus.
That's
from Galatians 3:13, Romans 8:11, Genesis 1:31, and Matthew 16 and verse 19. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we praise God. Hallelujah. For these declarations that he's given to us. Amen. And I know that some of you have started to some of these declarations that we've established. You started to see them come to pass. Amen. So please give us a testimony sometime. Amen. And let us know what God has established in your life and what you are seeing, and that you know that is him. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's go into a time of praise and worship this morning. You know, some of you may or may not know, we're doing Christian Black History Month on our Thursday edition of Get 'Em Radio. And so last Thursday, we did a broadcast featuring Mahalia
Jack. Oh, my goodness. This lady can sing. She had a voice that just touched people all over the place. You know, and she was around a time where there was a lot of segregation. And not to mention, I mean, women were not even kind of thought of back then, you know. And so she transcended all of that. She transcended race as well as gender, and because she just simply did what God told her to do. Amen. She did what God told her to do, and she did it the way he told her to do. Many people had told her, you know, you need to sing differently so more people can listen to your songs. You need to articulate your words better. You need to not jump around like that and shout in the middle of singing and move your hands like that. You got to do something different. But she didn't. She just did what the Lord gave her to do. And so I wanted to play one of her, at least one of her songs, and I'll see where we go from here. But one of the songs is "Let the Power of the Holy Ghost Fall on Me." Amen. This is Mahalia Jackson.
God in every city road. I see God everything that grows. I see gold and gentle falling rain in the snow that falls upon the plain. I see gold at sunrise every day in the smile children as they play.
If God has blessed you, you know he's blessed you in your finances, You know, let us know about that. Amen. I was thinking about you, Sister Joanne. I see you on. Welcome this morning. And, you know, whereas rent is going up, her rent went down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Who have ever heard of a thing like that, especially in the 21st century and especially with what's going on right now? So we thank God for all that he's doing. So let's say our prayer for finances. Repeat after me, Lord.
Lord,
I commit
my finances
to you.
Be in charge of them.
And use them.
For your purpose.
May I be
a good steward
of all that you give me. And walk
in total agreement
as to how it's to be dispersed. Amen. Where I have not been wise, bring restoration and give me guidance.
Show me
how I can help.
Increase
my finances
and not decrease them
unwisely.
Help me to remember
that all I have
belongs to you
and to be grateful for it. May I always
be paid well
for the work I do.
And may my money
not be stolen,
lost,
devoured, destroyed,
or wasted.
Multiply it. So what I have and what I make
will go a long way.
I pray
that I will not
be anxious
about finances,
but will seek
your kingdom first,
knowing
that as I do,
I will have all I need.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, there are three ways that you can give to the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. We have a Cash App. It's $ESLCCC, and that stands for East St. Louis Christian Center Church. If you're here in the Heritage House, you can come to the door 2E and give. Amen. Or you can mail it. Praise God. You can make your check payable to ESLCCC. And our address is 2800 Olive Street, number 2E, St. Louis, Missouri, 63103. Hallelujah. And so let's pray over your giving right now. Because God is blessing you right now as you fixing to get ready to give. And those who are giving right now, he's blessing you right now. Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up those who are tithing, Lord God. Hallelujah. Your word says test you on this, try you on this. Hallelujah. That if we would just give 10%, you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out those overflow blessings that would be too much for us to receive in the name of Jesus. And then on top of that, you said that you would rebuke the devourer for our sake. Glory to God. So that our money will not be lost. It won't be stolen. It won't be devoured, destroyed, or wasted. And there will be no holes in our pockets where money's just falling through without us even knowing it. We thank you, Lord God, for doing that in the name of Jesus. And then you said that those who give, you said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over your men given to your bosoms. We thank you for that, Lord God. Hallelujah. And also, we thank you, as we always stand on Deuteronomy 1:10 and 11, that says that you will bless us, hallelujah, as you have promised us, even making us a thousandfold more than we are right now. Thank you for doing that, Lord God. Hallelujah. And I just hear the Lord say, you know, sometimes it doesn't come back in money the way you gave it, but it'll come back in favor. Hallelujah. Favor with the Lord. You'll have even some debt canceled and not even know how it got canceled. Hallelujah. But God will cancel the debt. Praise God. Amen. And that's one of the testimonies, that somebody got debt just canceled. Hallelujah. I know a lady, she's a giver. She's a wonderful woman of God and a giver. And, I mean, she has had thousands of dollars canceled off of her mortgage over the years. Praise God. I had never heard of anything like that till I met her. I mean, not one or two thousands, but I'm talking in the 10,000s, just that debt just taken off of her house. And so we thank God. We also pray for those who are still dealing with school, with those student loan debt, in the name of Jesus. It may not be yours, it may be your child. And so we thank God for just even getting rid of those, giving us favor, or giving ones favor who need that. Hallelujah. To get rid of that student loan debt in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I just hear it's coming. It's coming. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep giving. Don't be afraid to give. Keep doing what you're doing. And there's something that God has set up to get rid of some student loans. Amen. I'm just hearing that hot off the press. So, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for that, Lord God. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for doing it, Lord God. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we're getting ready to go into the word, but before we go there, I just want to hear my singing, shouting, dancing song. Praise the Lord. And that's the song called Joy's Medley. Amen.
I want to take you back to the old time way, the way we used to have church, that good old time religion. God gave me this verse in my private time with him. He gave me the verse and I want to give it back to him. It goes like this. I've got so much to thank God for. I've got so much to thank God for. I'm back up on my pride each and every day. I've got so much to thank God for. And the deacons would come together, stand before the congregation, and they'd start a little hymn like this. They'd say, Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Oh,
Jesus on the main line,
tell him what you want. Song. And it would go like this. They say this right here. in my soul.
She preaches on the second Sunday of the month,
And I preach on the third and the fourth Sundays of the month. The first Sunday is that's your turn. Hallelujah. We have tag team preaching. And then if we happen to have a fifth Sunday, then we have our guest church, and that's Pastor Helen Price and the Memphis Covenant Faith Church, Joy and Minister Amber, who come and minister on those days. So last month we started a series, and it's called Salvation. And the three parts, the three stages of salvation, and they are justification, sanctification, and glorification. Hallelujah. So with those, we talked last month about justification, and we spent two broadcasts talking about that, or two church services talking about that. Today, we're going to start with sanctification. And all of this is our joyful, wonderful journey with Jesus. And it starts with justification. So I'm going to give a brief overview of what we talked about last about justification. And justification is an act of God whereby he pronounces a sinner to be righteous because of that sinner's faith in Christ. We are justified or declared righteous and in right standing with God at the moment of our salvation. Justification is deliverance from the penalty of sin. It's a past action for all believers, and it comes from what Jesus did on the cross, Jesus' finished work on the cross. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So justification is just as if you never sinned. When God looks at us, he sees his sinless son, Jesus. Amen. So it's just like you never sinned, just like Adam never sinned, just like that. Amen. Justification. Then I'm just giving you an overview of the whole salvation, three stages of salvation. And sanctification, which we're going to talk about a little bit today and then some more next week, sanctification is deliverance from the power of sin. So justification is from the penalty of sin, but sanctification is deliverance from the power of sin. And it is present. It's a present thing and a continual process of believers becoming Christ-like. This is accomplished by the Holy Spirit's power and presence. So sanctification delivers a believer, hallelujah. Oh, sanctification represents a believer's victory over the flesh. I'm going to give you the scripture that goes with that quickly, Romans 7:24-25. So it's victory over the flesh, and it's victory over the world, and that's from 1 John 5:4, and it's victory over the devil, yes, James 4:7. So over the flesh, it says, "O wretched man am I, who will deliver me from this body of death. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. Hallelujah. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So we have victory over the flesh, over the world. It says in 1 John 5:4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." Glory to God. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And then victory over the devil, James 4:7. "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Praise God. And then when we get to glorification, that'll be next month, Lord willing. Glorification is God's final removal of sin from the life of the saints. So they stand faultless before him in glory in eternity. Hallelujah. Party time, party time. But we're going to find out we can party here as well in the Lord. Hallelujah. And so at Christ's coming, the glory of God, amen, his honor, praise, majesty, holiness will be realized in us. That's what happens during glorification. And we will have direct and unhindered access to God's presence. And we will enjoy holy communion with him in eternity. Hallelujah. Now, glorification is the deliverance from the present. So, you know, when we get saved, justification, we're still in the presence of sin. But the penalty's not there anymore. And then with sanctification, we're delivered from the power of sin, but the presence of sin is still there. But when we have glorification, all of that will be taken care of, nipped in the bud, hallelujah. And we'll have deliverance from the presence of sin. We'll no longer be in the presence of sin. Hallelujah. We thank God. We thank God. And we look forward to that time of glorification. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So say we are saved by grace through faith from the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin. Amen. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be singing about that. Hallelujah. And a little reminder, because, you know, we talk about sanctification as well. But just a little reminder is that we can't earn our justification. We can't achieve our sanctification. And we cannot merit our glorification. God makes all these things happen out of his love for us and by his grace alone. Hallelujah. That's powerful. And that's something that we should think about and know about and shout about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, if anybody's trying to achieve these three things in their own power, it'll always fail. It can only go but so far. Praise God. So we rely on his power and him helping us to walk in the Spirit. Praise God. Now, last month, I was really talking about something that was near and dear to my heart, and that was I was talking about eternal security. And I really got a confirmation from the Lord that I was supposed to talk about that because the very next day, I was in the laundry room. I think I shared this story with you guys. I was in the laundry room, and I was, you know, trying to get back to Pastor Mom and everything, and I said, I can just take these clothes. They're kind of damp, and I'll just hang them up at home. And the Lord said, no, stay here until, keep going, and stay here until at least 4:55. And I remember distinctly, 4:55. And then at 4:54, a young man walked in the room, and he was the guy who fixes the washers and the dryers in the building. If there's any problem, there had been problems. I run into several problems, and so I was talking to him, and within moments of our conversation, you know, he let me know that he was saved. And that he was trying to keep his salvation. He didn't want to lose his salvation. And when he said that, I just went, okay, this is a Holy Ghost setup in here, you know, or something. And so, you know, I began to talk to him, you know, about that. And I'm sure, I guess, teaching at his church that he had been taught that at any moment he could lose his salvation. And so it just that just really stood out to me. And I believe that as we go into sanctification, we must get our heart and our mind set through the Word of God that our justification is eternal. Now, if a person is not really saved, they have not confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in their heart that God is raising from the dead, you know, then they're not really saved, because people think that they're saved, and they're not really saved. And I look at Cornelius in the Bible, not that he thought he was saved, but he was doing so much. You know, he gave to the church. He had people coming over to his house. You know, he was just, he loved the Lord. And God made sure that he was saved. God sent Peter to him so that he could be saved. So, you know, people could be doing a lot of things and not be saved. And as I heard, and she'll tell me, she did not coin this phrase, but I've heard my sister Pastor Price say that sit in a garage and not become a car. You know, if you sat yourself in a garage, that would not make you a car. And a lot of times people go to church and they say, you know, they cut their teeth on the pews and they're not saved. So because they never gave their heart and life to the Lord. I prayed with a man a few years back. He was in his 90s, and I'm trying to think of what they call it in his church. He was like a trustee in his church, and we prayed. I prayed the prayer of salvation with all of the people who were there that day, and I asked people to raise their hand to say if they had ever prayed that prayer before, and he raised his hand. He said he never prayed a prayer like that before, and he was in his 90s. So, amen. So, we pray the prayer of salvation here every week to make sure that people are saved, or every broadcast that we have to make sure that people are saved. Amen. And so, you know, if you're here and you've prayed the prayer and you believe it in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you are saved. Amen. So we don't have to quibble over that. Glory to God. So I wanted to just list some things about eternal salvation as we go into sanctification. Hallelujah. And thank God I have 2 weeks to talk about it, so I don't have to be in a great big hurry. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So here's some things. Eternal security is the work of God, which he guarantees that the work of salvation once received can never be lost. There are many reasons for believing in eternal security, and it's a personal promise that came from Jesus Christ. Now, John 10, verse 7 through 10, I'm going to read through that. John 10, verse 10 says that Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. I come that you may live and that you may have it. Excuse me. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Amen. And this is a clear promise without condition. Glory to God. I'm going to read a little bit more, some more that I have on this. So I may be going kind of quick. You can always go back to the podcast and listen to it. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. Jesus knows his sheep. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name, in verse 23, and then I will declare of them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Amen. And I think, from what I have seen and have seen, you know, people who had been in church since they were small children and ministered and everything, but maybe never really received Jesus. And some of them were just doing what they saw everybody else do in the church, but maybe never had a relationship with the Lord. So Jesus' followers will never perish, and that is without exception. You know, as we're following Jesus, as we are born again, we will never perish. No one is able to take a person out of God's hand. Psalm 89 and verse 13. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your arm, and high is your right hand. And his right hand is omnipotent and omniscient. Amen. All power and all knowing. So also, eternal security is a gift that can never be lost. If it could, what Jesus promised could not be delivered. If there is no eternal, then what Jesus promised could not be delivered. And here's the thing about the promises of God. He said if he did not do what he promised, the whole world would fall apart. We're still here. The world is still here. So his promise is still good. If there is no eternal security, the power and promise of God cannot be trusted. But we can trust his power and his promise. Amen. And then what Jesus is doing is he's continually interceding for us. Praise God, sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. And Christ has every person on his mind. Power. Hallelujah. And Christ is able to save forever. I'm going to give you some scriptures, and I'll just say it to you because, like I said earlier, you need to have this set in your heart and in your mind that you're not going to lose your salvation. Because if you think you're going to lose your salvation, let me say it another way. If we think we're going to lose our salvation, we can't truly enter into that time of sanctification with God. We can't, because we're still at that justification thing, trying to make that happen, trying to make it happen, trying to keep it there. You know, that we won't lose our justification. We won't lose our righteousness. And so that would leave us in a vicious cycle of not going further. And I'm telling you, God has so much more for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God is infinite in power, and we can find that in John 17 and verse 11. Amen. If you're taking notes, you can just take that note and check that out later. Christ is able to save forever. You can go to Hebrews 9 and verse 25. Our inseparable relationship with Christ is shown in Romans 8:31, that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Then in 1 John 2, God declares us righteous and not guilty because all sin was placed upon Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And the basis for eternal security is what Christ did at Calvary. Okay? And another thing is we cannot be condemned because the blood of Jesus has declared us not guilty. A couple of more statements here. God has never lost a true believer. If denying Christ was enough, then even Peter would have lost his salvation because Peter denied Jesus three times. And Jesus said himself, the only one that he did not keep was Judas to fulfill what the scripture said about him being the son of perdition. Amen. And so God's grace is not thought about with the young man that day was, you know, we didn't work for our salvation. Therefore, we can't work to keep it. Hallelujah. And then I thought later, you know, my mind has been on it so much. I thought later, well, I mean, gee, if you could lose your salvation, what you have to do? what would you have to do to actually lose your salvation? And so that's, you know, one of those things that was just, that's kind of scary, you know, thinking about that. That's why we have to kind of nip this thing in the bud, get it so in our heart and our mind to know according to the word of God. Amen. And if I'm erring, if I'm wrong on this, I want to be wrong on the side of faith. If there's such a thing like that, I want to believe, and not just because I'm closing my eyes and say, I believe, but I'm believing according to the word of God. Hallelujah. And I don't think I can be wrong with that. I don't think I can err, be in error with believing the word of God and believing what Jesus said. Amen. So, hallelujah. So I said it. Eternal salvation. Now, let's get to sanctification. Glory to God. And this, like we said before, this is a process. And we're in this process. And we're going to be in this process until we leave out of here. Pastor Mom, get ready to read that scripture I gave to you.
Okay.
Now we're finally on this and on sanctification, but I had to, you know how they say I got to deliver my soul. I had to go ahead and deliver my soul on that eternal salvation and, you know, and to just give it to you because, like I said, you got to have your heart and your mind set on it before anything comes up to try to challenge it, because I'm telling you, it will be challenged because sin is still around us. And just like dust in the air, we're going to get some dust on us. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hold on, Pastor Mom. Hold on. I want to say this. Everybody who's on the line, I sent you the scriptures for today as we go into this part of sanctification. I sent you the scriptures that we're going to be reading through. So if you guys, if anyone wants to help me out and you're a reader, press your number one key. Pastor Mom's going to do the first scripture with us. But I have sent you a list of scriptures I think I sent them to everybody. I might have missed Sister Joanne. Yeah, I did. Sister Joanne, I'm texting it to you as well. But if any one of you would like to read, please press your number one key. I see you, Pastor Price. Thank you so much. Anyone else you want to read with us, press your number one key and look at your scriptures. I have them written down there so you'll know what they are. Praise God. We sure appreciate that. Amen. Okay, back to the word. Thank you, Pastor Price. Okay, back to sanctification. Sanctification is the process by which Christians are set apart for God and from the rest of the world, or the process by which Christians are made holy. It's been known to be progressive and experiential. Sanctification, that's what they call it. The theologians call it progressive or experiential, like by experience. Amen. And the effect of obedience to the word of God in one's life. It is the same as growing in the Lord. The scripture is 2 Peter 2:18. Amen. Pastor, Mom, you can read that for us.
Okay. Good. But they were in grace and in the knowledge of your
Lord
and
Savior.
And Savior, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
To him
be the glory.
Be the glory. And both now and
forever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. 2 Peter 3:18. Thank you, Pastor Mom.
You're welcome.
Okay, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. So this sanctification process, we're going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And, you know, after he said that, he had to go into a praise. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. So this is a wonderful, beautiful thing that we're growing in grace and we're growing in the knowledge of him. That's what sanctification is about. We get to know our Lord and Savior right here and right now in the dust. In this time where sin is still in the presence, sin is still around us. Hallelujah. But we're growing and knowing him. And the more we grow in him, the more we become like him, the more that dust can't stick to us. The more the sin cannot stick to us. Hallelujah. The more we are washed in the water of the word, the more sin has got to be washed off of us. Hallelujah. Being in the presence. Now, we don't have a penalty, but we are still in that presence. Amen. So now, sanctification is not the act of God declaring a person righteous. It is, like I said, the continual process by which God is actually making us righteous. So, again, sanctification is the deliverance from the power of sin, because it's still around us, sin, hallelujah, and is a present and continuous process of believers becoming Christ-like, accomplished by the Holy Spirit, power, and presence. So, amen. And so we were talking earlier about sanctification, how it represents a victory over the flesh. We went through that scripture, the world and the devil. Now, I was reading. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I was reading the Sarah Young book, 40 Days with Jesus, More Confirmation About Us, and it was saying how God is calling us into constant communion with him. And you know what? He knew that meeting us once a day in the cool of the evening wasn't enough. You know, it talks about that in the book of Genesis, how God met with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, every day. But God knew that that was not enough. Hallelujah. And years ago, I was in prayer, and I heard the Lord say, meet me in the constant. And I was like, what? What do you mean, meet you in the constant? I don't get it. And so for many years, I've meditated on that. Meet me in the constant. And, amen. Hebrews 3:8. I'm going to open up your line, Pastor. Oh, Price, who said she would say something. I might have got that wrong. Minister Carey. Amen. You had your number one key pressed too, right?
Yes, yes. Yes, I did.
Okay. Hebrews 3:8. Amen. And Pastor Price, Colossians 1:27.
Hallelujah. Apostle, you didn't send me the scriptures.
Oh, I didn't? Oh, okay.
Mm-mm.
I'm sorry.
You said Colossians 1:3?
Colossians 1:27.
Okay.
Okay. I got you. You sent me a message, too. Thank you. Okay, back to you, Minister Carey, Hebrews 3:8.
Hebrews 3:8? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, 3:8 says, do not harden your heart as you did in the rebellion.
I'm sorry.
You mean 13:8.
13:8. Right.
Right. Okay. I have it. It says, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
Was I writing the scripture down fast or what?
You said 13.
Let me go to
the scripture.
So okay.
Because I had 13. I'm sorry. It said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever.
Amen. Thank you. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when the Lord said, meet me in the constant, he was saying, and I'm still meditating on that, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And to be more like him, meet him and him being constant, and I will change. You know, and it was kind of a paradox or something at first, but it was like, no, I need to change. He's the same. So when I meet him in his sameness, I'm going to change. Hallelujah. And be more like him. Praise God. Praise God. So, and then he began to tell me about his abiding anointing. Pastor Price, Colossians 1:27.
Yes, Colossians 1:27. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. So now as we go through the sanctification process, we are not alone. Hallelujah. And Christ, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. So he's really in us. When we pray and we say, Lord, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord and my Savior, that really happens. Hallelujah. Christ is in us. And Christ is the anointed one. So the anointed one and his anointing lives on the inside of us. And that is how we can become more like him as we go through this sanctification process. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we don't have to come up with stuff all by ourselves. He's here with us. He's in us. Not in the cool of the day, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, he's with us. And that is the only way that sanctification can be possible. Praise God. And then there's a saying that people say with Bible. So they take the first letters of Bible, and it's basic training before leaving earth, the B-I-B-L-E, amen. So it's basic training before leaving earth. That's what we're doing right now. The sanctification is our basic training before leaving earth, amen. We're going through this wonderful training by the Holy Ghost as he leads us, as he guides us, as he trains us. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're learning to live above all situations and circumstances as we are in constant communion with him. And that's another thing he said about the constant. Meet me in the constant. Be in constant communication with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And once again, I was saying the world is cluttered. And sin is like dust around us. Yet we rise above it all as we ask and are led by the precious Holy Spirit. Now, I was thinking of an illustration, and Minister Carey, find for me Romans 8, 29 and 30, talking, that's going to be the next scripture. And, okay, and Pastor Price, 1 Samuel 16:7. I don't think I put the Thessalonians. Maybe you should do the Pastor Price, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. That's not on the list. I was moving fast. And then 1 Samuel 16:7. Okay. So I was I got an illustration on sanctification. I have plants around the house, and in the past maybe 10 years or so, I've been growing plants, and I never in my life have grown plants like I'm growing plants now. We have plants all over the place, big plants, beautiful plants. And I was looking at, you know, how they look. Plants will turn towards the light. They will always, and we have this big, beautiful window here, where the light comes in, and so the plants are just growing so well. And one day I turned the plant away from the light. The leaves that were going towards the light, I turned them away from the light. And I went back and looked at it days later, and that plant, those leaves were going towards that light again. And they slowly, slowly moved toward the light. So sanctification is like that. Sanctification is turning our back to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and that we are constantly turning our face to the Lord, continually seeking his face. You know, that, and if we do get turned by some situation or some circumstance, that we're still going to turn, keep turning and going seeking his face and not staying away from him. We keep turning towards him. Hallelujah. Amen. Because there's going to be times where the situations and the circumstances are going to be so dire and so dark, it's going to feel like we have turned away from God. But we have to continue to turn back to him, continue to seek him, continue to go to his word and his faith. Amen. And the ultimate end result of our sanctification is that we will be found in Christ's image. So read for us Romans 8, 29 and 30, Minister Carey.
Yes.
For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified.
Amen. So we're on a path here. Praise God. And he knew us. He predestined. He knew about us. You know, before we were in our mother's womb, he knew about us. And we're going someplace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he has justified us. It doesn't say sanctified on here, but we know we're going to be glorified too. So it just doesn't mention that. But praise God, we're going through the process, and he's also set up for our glorification already. Praise God. Amen. And then sanctification is God's will for us. The word sanctification is related to the word saint, and both words have to do with holiness. To sanctify something is to set it apart for special use. To sanctify a person is to make him or make them holy. Pastor Price, you got 1 Thessalonians 4:3?
Yes, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality.
Amen. Amen. So he wants us to be sanctified. Hallelujah. And part of that is sexual immorality. Stop it. Amen. And he'll help us. Hallelujah. And that's the only way that we can stop that or not do that and to be holy is with him. Amen. Amen. And I know it's a lot of sayings is that God will help you if you want to be helped. And Pastor Mom would say, God will help you even when you don't want to be helped. Hey, and I know that to be true. Praise God. Amen. Carrie, get John 17. That's going to be next. And Pastor Price, did you happen to get 1 Samuel 16:7?
I can turn to that real quick. It was the last one on your list. Sister Carrie can read whichever one you want to do first.
Oh, you can do that. I want her to do John 17.
Okay, I'm turning there John, now.
First Samuel
16 says, and verse 7, I'm almost there. Taking me a little while in this Bible. 16:7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height. Is that the one? Five rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks.
Amen. Hallelujah. So this is what we're talking about when we talk about sanctification. We got to know that God looks at the heart. He looks at the heart, and those who are saved, when we're talking about sanctification and how he looks at the heart, we may look at somebody, and they may not look saved at all. I know Pastor Price has talked about those times where people were dressed. They dressed a certain way, and sometimes they still do dress a certain way to look sanctified, to look holy, not wearing lipstick, wearing long sleeve blouses, and making sure their toes are covered, and all kinds of things. I mean, I know years ago I went to, I used to play the French horn, and I went to one of my friend's churches when I was in college. And I had on a pair of pants, and I was going to play in a musical that they were having. And when I walked through that door with pants on, the mothers of the church ushered me to a back room and gave me a, so I just went on and put the skirt on and went on and played French horn there. And so God looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. when I changed into from pants to a skirt, that didn't make me more holy. That didn't make me more sanctified. What made me holy and sanctified is God. And I think, you know, and I wasn't even the Barbie Kizzy that I am right now. I was saved back then. But, you know, and I'd say that was the Holy Ghost that even stopped me from being upset because they asked me to do that, to just respect the elders and go ahead and do it. You know, because I believe the church I went to, I don't know, I guess we wore pants. I don't think we wore pants to church just because our culture at that time didn't have us wearing pants, but it wasn't because of sanctification. But with all of that, God looks at the heart. Hallelujah. And that is the most important thing, is that he looks at the heart. And even David, you know, God said that David had a heart after his own heart, even the bad things that David did. Hallelujah. And so God knows what the heart really looks like. Amen. So let's go and, a little bit more here. Praise God. Let's look at John 17. I hope I wrote that down right. John 17. And thank you, Lord. Okay. We're looking at where to start in John 17. Oh, verse 17? Let me make
John
sure I got that right.
17.
Yeah, that's what, yes. That's right.
Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth.
Amen. Amen. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. So that just said a whole lot right there. Amen. Because it is the word. Hallelujah. It's the truth of the Lord. It's his word that sanctifies us. Thank you for reading that for me, both Pastor Price and Minister Carey. Sanctification is a state of separation unto God. All believers enter into this state when they're born of God. You are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Praise God. That was 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. The sanctification mentioned in this verse is a once forever separation of believers unto God. It is a work God performs, an intricate part of our salvation and our connection with Christ. Amen. So I had a illustration here that I wanted to mention, and then this will be it. This is our closing here. But I just began to think about what our sanctification looks like with this illustration. What I thought about was, when we're born again, it's like being a newborn child, a newborn. And then we go to a place of being a child. And then we go to a place of being an adult. And I'm just going to throw out a few things, and maybe you want to meditate on that yourself. A newborn, think about this. A newborn, everything's new to a newborn. It's different. It's new. And when we are born again, old things have become new in us when we are born again. And then with a newborn baby, they have milk. They drink milk. And when we're born again, you know, there's certain things that we just can't understand in the Word of God. It's the milk or the meat of the word. And so we can understand some things. And so we have to hold on to the things that we do understand until we grow some more in the Lord, and we'll have more of an understanding. A newborn baby will communicate with cries. You know, every time they need to be changed or they need to be fed, they just go, you know, and cry like that. And the beautiful thing about God is that God understands the language of every cry. And also the parent of the newborn will usually guess or maybe even kind of know, especially ones who have, the parents who have experience, know if they need to be fed or they need to be changed. There was something on Oprah years ago. There was a show on Oprah where this woman said that she had learned the language of babies, of newborn babies. And she put a book out about that. And one of the things that I remember about that is she said, if you hear a baby crying and their cry sounds like, nah, nah, like that, that means that they're ready to eat. Tongue has gone to the top of their mouth, and they're trying to suck, but there's nothing there. And then that sound comes out, and that let the parents know that they want to be fed. And so God understands the cries of a newborn and of a newly born again Christian. And what I noticed over the years is that with a newly born again Christian, when they pray, their need comes from the Spirit very quickly. You know, they can pray for something, and bam, it looks like it's just done. And God will do that because he knows that they are newborn. Hallelujah. And so, and then after we've been with the Lord for a while, and we're like children, and so we get more meat, like a child would get more meat, just gradually put into their diet. And so they can get more, and we get more of an understanding of the meat of the word. Amen. And so, you know, maybe back in the newborn, if we just understand that Jesus loves us, that's big. And I can remember when my relationship got really close to the Lord. I had been born again for about 20 years, but I wasn't walking diligently in that sanctification process. I'll just say diligently and on purpose in the sanctification process. But I would hear the voice of God, and every day he would speak. Many times a day, he would send me this, I called it a broadcast. And in his broadcast, the Lord would say to me, we are one. We are one. Or he'll say, I love you. He still says that a lot. But in the beginning, it was like, we are one. We are one. And he wanted to make sure that I knew that I was one with him. And I began to talk, when I would talk to people, I would say something like, well, we're going to the store. Be right back. And they said, well, who are you going to the store with? I said, oh, it's okay, you know. But I was saying, I mean, it was so conscious to me. I became very aware that it was just not me anymore, but Christ in me, and he's with me all the time. And I still do that sometimes to a certain extent. And so when we become children in the natural, we get more meat, and also in the spirit. And then a child learns how to walk. A newborn, they don't know how to walk when they're first born, but then they learn how to walk as a child. And here's the thing about sanctification. When we're learning how to walk and how to walk by faith and not by sight, and we're learning how to walk just like a child learns how to walk, sometimes that child's going to fall down. And, you know, that doesn't mean that they lost their salvation if they fall. That means that the Lord goes to them and say, baby, come on and get up, just like a parent would do. Come on, baby, get up. You're going to get your balance. You're going to get your balance. Come on to me. Walk to me. You know, it's a beautiful thing when a child learns how to walk, and then they little arms up in the air trying to balance and everything, and they trying to walk across the room to get to their parent. And in the spirit, a lot of times that's what we look like. We look like children learning to walk. And God's not going to, you know, say, look at you, you fell again. He's just say, come on, baby, get up. Come on now. Come on and get up. You'll do better next time. Come on. And then we learn how to walk. And then as children, you know, as born again babies, we communicate with cries. As children, we communicate with words. And so we began to learn the word of God. We began to learn his word and began to talk his word. I began to declare his word and communicate with his words and not our words. Then when we become children, we don't need to be changed. We're not wearing diapers. We're, you know, pooping on ourselves and carrying on, but we have good bathroom habits. And so in the spirit realm, those are the things that change too. We don't need to be changed so much. You know, there may be times, whatever. But, you know, we have the good bathroom habits as children. And then, you know, as a baby, you know, I said before how it seems like a newborn Christian, they pray and their prayers get answered real quick. As a child, we learn to be obedient. And as we're obedient to the Lord, to his word, his will, and his way, then the prayers are answered. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. In fact, I'm closing. I'm on my last part right now. Praise God.
Okay.
Hallelujah. We are in closing. As an adult can have strong meat at this point, can hear the word of God. You know, there was some strong meat that the Lord gave to the disciples, and a bunch of them left him. Some of them, he says, so are you going to leave me too? And they said, no. Where else can we go? For you have the word of life. You have the word of eternal life. And so he can give us some strong meat because he know that we won't walk away from him. Amen. And also with our walking, as children, we learn how to walk. And as adults in the spirit, we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. And Micah 6 and verse 8 says this. He has told thee, O man, what is good and what God requires of thee, only to do justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with thy God. Amen. And so as adults, that's what we learn. We learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. We get that strong meat. We learn to do good, what is good and what God requires of us, to do justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with him. And now I want to close with this. Oh, also, we learn how to dialogue with God. We learn how to, he talks to us, we talk to him, he talks to us, we talk to him. As adults, we're in a dialogue with the Lord. And then also when our prayers are met, we are willing and obedient. Hallelujah. And that's when, as adults in the Lord, as mature Christians, we are willing and obedient. And we know when we do that, we will eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. And now, this is what I want to end with. The 40 days with Jesus, you know, from this, another Sarah Young part where the Lord is talking to us. He says, sheep are not designed to live independently. They need a wise, loving shepherd to guide them carefully. In the same way, you live best when you follow me humbly in sheep-like fashion. As you trust me to know what is best for you, I lovingly guide you in paths of righteousness. Father, we thank you for this word today on sanctification in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, Father God, that we can learn how to walk humbly with you, that we'll go in our sanctification process from being newborn to being children to be mature adults in you. And the more we walk in you, the more we become like you, Lord God. We thank you for this wonderful, beautiful sanctification journey that we are on. Hallelujah. And that it'll better and better, gooder and gooder, greater and greater. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, next week, we're going to come back with sanctification part two. And we're going to talk about what happens during this sanctification process, or some of the things. You know, we can't tell it all, but some of the things that happen during the sanctification process. And I believe that people are going to be able to identify with this, and you're going to find yourself in there somewhere. And hopefully you found yourself in some things that we said today as well. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation. Praise God. Talk about the Get a Radio family of broadcasts. If you have anything that you want to say, press your number one key. Otherwise, after we pray, we'll tell you about the Get a Radio family. We're going to go ahead and close. But if you have any comments, we'd love to hear you. So please press your number one key. And we'll open up the lines. Hallelujah. Amen. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. And then Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. So repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe, you died for me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. And be my Savior. Show me your ways. And help me to follow you. And now I know. According to your word, I am saved. I'm born again, and heaven is my home. And now I can get into my sanctification process. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You are born again. Hallelujah. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to justification. And you're in the process of sanctification right now, and you are headed for glorification when you're absent from the body and present with the Lord. Hallelujah. So we want to invite you to grow in your sanctification, to grow and learn more about the Lord with our Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. But first, we want to pray right now that you'll be sealed with the Holy Spirit right now and filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. Power to live right, power to walk right, power to do right. Amen. And that your heavenly language will be released now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. And so we invite you to grow by calling in to our Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. Our phone number is area code 516-418-5699. On Sundays, this is the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. We meet every Sunday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. Pastor Mom is our senior pastor, and I'm Apostle Kizzy, your apostolic pastor. Hallelujah. And then we'll be back with you next week with Sanctification Part 2. And then on Mondays, we have our Bible teaching with Dr. Lorraine Navarro. Tomorrow is my favorite Bible teaching. It's called The Brook, The Bag, and The Sling. And it talks about David and Goliath from the perspective of the stones in the bag. It is so good. Amen. And so that'll be tomorrow, Monday, or every Monday, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. On Tuesdays, we have our prayer, and that is called Praying in Tongues Tuesday. That is at 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. On Wednesday, our next Wednesday service, our healing broadcast will be on Wednesday, Wednesday, March the 9th, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, and we call that prophetic healing. And God is still in the healing business, and he is healing people. Glory to God. So call somebody, mark your calendar, set your cell phone alarm, and meet us on Wednesday, March the 9th, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then we have on Thursday, we have the Thursday edition of Get 'Em Radio. This Thursday, we're ending our Christian Black History Month, and we will be talking about Azusa Street. And, Azusa Street is when it was back in the early 1900s where people began to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit was falling upon people in a dramatic way back then. And so that's what we're going to talk about on this Thursday on our Thursday edition of Get 'Em Radio, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So just for a few moments here, if anyone wants to say anything, I don't see any number one keys pressed except for Minister Carey. Did you want to say anything, Minister Carey, or you just had it up from doing the scriptures?
Oh, it was up doing the scripture time, but I do want to say, I just say thank the Lord for today. Thank the Lord from Pastor Mom and you, Apostle Kizzy. It's just been a joy today just to sit and go through the scriptures and just hear the Lord speak on so many different things. I think God for the word today, how he's just ordered our steps through it, you know, and brought clarity. And
hallelujah.
There's so much can be said, but I just thank the Lord for today. I sit here and as it was going, I was just rejoicing in the Lord, you know.
Amen.
And just blessings to everyone. Today has been a good day. It's been hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Were you saying something else? Huh?
That's it.
Okay. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Price, your line is open. Did you want to say anything?
Yes. I just praise God for today. I know that I have so much I could say. However, I understand and know that Pastor Mom, it's time. It's about 1 minute after 1 o'clock, and I know she's ready to get rested. But I want to tell you, Apostle, I really thank God. I took a whole lot of pages of notes today. And I thank God for that's a lot of meat to chew on. We had a lot of meat to chew on, but it was good meat. It was very, very good. And so I thank God, and I look forward to the next message. And it really, there's a lot of clarity. So I don't want to keep you long because I know that I don't want to get Mama tired so she can get ready to get her something to eat and get rested. But I just want to tell you, I thank God, as Minister Carrie said, I thank God so much for that word. We need that. We need that, what you did today, by the Spirit of God. It covered a lot of bases. And I thank God for you and love you, and thank God for you and Pastor Mom. You all have a blessed afternoon.
Amen. Praise God. You too. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Pastor Mom, we're going to have you close out. I'm checking my text to see if anybody else wants to say anything. I don't see anything, so... Amen. Thank you all for your comments today. Sir, I really appreciate it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So you can close us out, Pastor Mom.
Okay. May
you want to make any comments first?
Yeah, it was good today. I can really say that.
Amen. Amen.
May the Lord watch.
May the Lord watch.
Between me and thee.
Between me and thee.
While we're absent.
While we're absent.
One from another.
One from another.
And thank you.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless everyone. Hallelujah. Have a blessed rest of the day. And remember, I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together.